Hare Krishna, this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti, text 16 to 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam Sri Shakim Kanaka Kandala Charu Karna Nasa Kapola Vadanam Para Deva Thakhyam Sangviksha Sammuhur Utmita Vikshanina Devasura Vigalita Stana Patikantam Tansi Sakim Kanaka Kundala Charu Karna Nasa Kapola Varanam Paradeva Thakyam Samviksha Sammoha Utsmita Vikshnanina Deva Sura Vijalita Sanapatika Tam Tam unto her Sri Shakim appearing like a personal associate of the goddess of fortune Kanaka Kundala with golden earrings, Charu, very beautiful, Karna, ears, Nasa, nose, Kapola, cheeks, Vadanam, face, Paradevata Akhyam, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, appearing in that form. Sangviksha, looking at her, Samumuha, all of them became enchanted. Utsmita, slightly smiling, Vikshnanina, glancing over them, Devasura, all the demigods and demons, Vijalita Stana. Patika Antam, the border of her sari on the breasts moved slightly. Translation: her attractive nose and cheeks and her ears adorned with golden earrings made her face very beautiful. As she moved, her sari's border on her breasts moved slightly aside. When the demigods and demons saw these beautiful features of Mohini Murti, who was glancing at them and slightly smiling, they were all completely enchanted. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks here that, that Mohini Murti is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a feminine form, and that the goddess of fortune is her associate. This form, assumed by the Personality of Godhead, challenged the Goddess of Fortune. The Goddess of Fortune is beautiful, but if the Lord accepts the form of a woman, he surpasses the Goddess of Fortune in beauty. It is not that the Goddess of Fortune, being female, is the most beautiful. The Lord is so beautiful that he can excel any beautiful Goddess of Fortune by assuming a female form. And if I will... Om Agyanan Tarandasya Agyanan Salakaya Chakshuru Mitam Dattasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutarehe Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Te Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shandavari Pastati Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasa Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I read the translation from 16 and 17 to 18 also. 16 and 17. O King, as the demigods and demons sat facing east in an arena fully decorated with flower garlands and lamps and fragrant with the smoke of incense, that woman, dressed in the most beautiful sari, her ankle bells tinkling, entered the arena, walking very slowly because her big low hips, because of her big low hips. Her eyes were restless due to youthful pride. Her breasts were like water jugs. Her thighs resembled the trunks of elephants, and she carried a water pot in her hand. 18. Her attractive nose and cheeks and her ears, adorned with golden earrings, made her face very beautiful. As she moved, a sari's border on her breast moved slightly aside. When the demigods and demons saw these beautiful features of Mohini Murti, who was glancing at them and slightly smiling, they were all completely enchanted. Continue the description of the Mohini Murti, the incarnation of the female incarnation of the Lord. And here we can see how he's saying how incredibly beautiful that she was. She is, Krishna is all attractive. He is Madan Mohan. He attracts even Cupid. Everyone is attracted by Cupid in this world. Krishna is so attractive, he even attracts Cupid. So when he appears as a woman, here it says that his beauty even surpasses that of Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi is a goddess of fortune, and fortune that is very attractive. Lakshmi Devi is all attractive, all the good qualities, incredibly beautiful. And so when the Lord appears, he can even surpass this Lakshmi in beauty, which everyone worships Lakshmi. For she's a goddess of opulence. So all this opulence she displays to the fullest. But Krishna can display even something more incredible. So when he wants to bewilder somebody, anyone, and these are all qualified people, these are demigods, that and demons, that Krishna just knows exactly how to bewilder them. He just knows the right form to take. Here was a description of her enchanting form, the way she walks slowly, the way she, the sound of her walking, the ankle bells, ching, ching, ching. She's walking in the arena very, very slowly, very gracefully. Her body's moving to and fro with very beautiful figures, big eyes, big low hips, breasts like water jugs, thighs like the trunks of elephants. Very, very attractive for all the men there, completely bewildered. And she's moving in the middle of them very slowly, and they're wondering what she's going to do. And as she's moving, her cloth is moving to show, to accentuate her form even more. She's moving in that very seductive way because she's trying to bewilder them. So no one can do a better job at this than the Lord. So everything about her, where she's glancing at them with her big eyes, glancing, looking sideways sometimes, and glancing at them, and everyone thinks, oh, she's looking at me, she fancies me, thinking like that. They're all thinking out that maybe there's a possibility that, to enjoy her. They're all thinking like that. This is how the men thinking. Think they're the center of the universe. So, and waiting for that opportunity that completely the senses are completely subdued by this, completely agitated, but completely subdued. It just can't think of any. The senses are completely overpowered. And she's walking and smiling, bashful, and smiling, looking bashful sometimes, and all of the nuances that the that a woman can portray to attract a man, they're there in the fullest. We have a little experience in the material world of beautiful women, beautiful gestures, features, etc. But we just can't imagine how beautiful this woman was, how enchanting she was. Because she's the Supreme Lord already. He's transcendentally beautiful. Just his appearance is Krishna is all attractive. So just imagine, just by seeing that form, becomes all attractive. And Krishna's form is so attractive. Even Krishna becomes attractive. Then there's a story. He's sitting down. He's looking on the floor, and there's polished floor, polished granite floor or something. So it's like a mirror, and he looks. Or in a column, wasn't it? I think was it. And he's startled. Who's that beautiful person? He's shocked. So beautiful. Who is that person? So what? He's affecting me like Radharani does. Then he realizes, oh, it's me. So he can't. He's difficult to appreciate his own beauty. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya, to try to appreciate. How the devotees see him, what is his actual beauty, his love. So everything about him, his whole ambience, way he moves, all his gestures, everything is perfect. You cannot get any more, get any more perfection than this. So this is, and Krishna's trying to display it. Krishna's all attractive anyway. When a devotee sees Krishna, then according to the degree of affection that devotee has for Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. Krishna is unlimited. He's a reservoir of pleasure, a reservoir of rasas. So whatever you want, whatever you can imagine and more, Krishna can display that. Krishna can show that. So generally, according to your particular rasa with Krishna, your particular attraction for Krishna, then he will reveal that aspect. Just like he may reveal himself in different incarnations according to your desire. You can worship him as Lord Krishna or Rama or Dwapadish, like this. So he'll appear like that. Whatever relationship you want with him, then He will arrange that. Whatever, and according to the, of course, these are all perfect relationships. In the spiritual world, everyone has a perfect relationship, and their relationship is full. They can't imagine anything more than that. Krishna is their all in all. He's whatever they desire. He's that and more. So there's no competition in the spiritual world, because everyone is completely satisfied. And Krishna will reciprocate that much. But they're all different, slightly different relationships. It's like in the material world, everyone is different, slightly different. No two people exactly the same. So therefore, that's variety, and the spiritual world means variety. Variety means rasa. Variety means... Variety is the spice of life, we say here. It's like the impersonalists, they think that this Brahma Sukha, the happiness of Brahman, is all in all. But that's just static. It's not really happiness, actually. It's not really ananda. They say it's Satchitananda, but actually it's just It's just sat, it's just existence. Some little chit is there, but because there's nothing to relate to in that state of Brahman, even if it is ananda, they won't know it's ananda, because there's only one state of existence. You'll only know there's ananda when there's something to compare it with. You only know you're happy when there's, because sometimes you're sad, you only, like that. You only know it's hot because it's cold. But if it was always the same temperature, if it was always the same atmosphere, then there's nothing to compare it with. So how will you know, even if it is happiness, how will you know it's happiness? There's no relativity there, it's all the same. So they're actually missing out on the... So it's just a state of existence. Prabhupada calls it spiritual suicide, because the living entity is a person. And God is a person, because in with personality, then there's obviously more room for pleasure exchanges. In other words, the pleasure that God enjoys with his devotees is very diverse. So it's not static, it's always changing. So all these, much like waves in the ocean, it's coming. And then the different pastimes that the Lord has with his devotees, they're the medium for drawing out these specific mellows, emotions and loving exchanges. The pastimes are also wonderful in and of themselves, but they're actually the medium where they can experience this change of love. And according to their intimacy with the Lord, then they're known as greater devotees or lesser, otherwise. Krishna says in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita that all these devotees are perfect. He's describing all the different, he's described the different levels of devotees in different rasas. If he said they're all perfect, it's just a question of their intimacy with me. That's the only difference. Some are more intimate and some are less intimate. That is why this Madhura rasa is considered the highest, technically, because it's the most intimate. Others also have intimacy, like the Vatsala is also a great deal of intimacy. They're all perfect, but in that, all the rasas are contained, all the rasas can be exhibited in the Madhura rasa, whereas all the rasas can't be exhibited in the other rasas. So therefore it's considered highest, but they're all complete. Don't think there's any lacking in the spiritual world. Everyone loves Krishna 100%. Their love is full, so that everyone is completely satisfied. And Krishna reveals himself like that. He said Lord Chaitanya appeared with his weapons in Kali Yuga. So his associates, and one of his weapons was his personal beauty also. So he's so attractive, so beautiful. Just by seeing Lord Chaitanya, some people were just forcibly attracted to him. Some innocent people were forcibly attracted to him. The Mayavad is in Varanasi when he went to convert them. He used that tactic of revealing his beauty and his jyoti also. Sitting there, so beautiful, sitting in a dirty place, so what a contrast. He's sitting there glowing and incredibly beautiful. He's the colour of complexion of Srimati Radharani. She's molten gold colour. It's very, very beautiful. If you've ever seen molten gold, it's very translucent, very, very attractive, very mystifying, very attractive. So that is just the complexion of Lord Chaitanya. And then he's effulgence. And then he could see that who is this wonderful person? He's not an ordinary, he is Narayan. Look at the jyoti coming from here. We're talking, we're calling each other Narayan, but he actually is Narayan. They could see by his physically they could understand his position. Therefore he entered into their hearts without them being able to commit offences or anything like that. That was his way of doing it. They first of all accepted him, then surrendered. Then we said, "We'll accept whatever you say, without argument." Otherwise, if there was argument, they would have made offences. So the Lord is very expert. So he did like that. So this is the beauty of Krishna. You hear descriptions in the Bhagavatam that the Brajvasis, when Krishna walks, moves behind a tree, the little boys become stunned. His friends become stunned. They can't see for Krishna at the moment, and they become bewildered. The whole universe is empty. Until he steps out on the other side of the tree, then they get their life back when they're so absorbed in Krishna. And the gopis are cursing Lord Brahma for making their bodies with eyelids that blink. So the time of the blinking, they can't see Krishna. We can only try and imagine just how incredibly attractive Krishna is. He's all attractive. Meaning of Krishna. It's all attractive. He attracts all of the senses. If he wants to. As much as he decides to reveal himself or to show himself, then one will be attracted. Krishna can forcibly attract somebody. But by his achinta shakti, he can forcibly attract all the senses of the devotee, but generally he leaves it up to the devotee to approach him in different ways. He gives them opportunities, but generally he leaves the exchange to his devotee, except the pure devotees, and they act according to the Lord's own mood. This person associates with the Lord, then it's the siddhas. So we see a reflection in the material world. We see so many attractive things, so many attractive people, beautiful people. But we're attracted to those people only because of the presence of the soul. So the body becomes attractive, the personality becomes attractive, because the soul is inside, and as soon as the soul goes away, then the attraction is gone. So it's the soul that's actually attractive. Huh? And this attraction is also the binding force in this world. This male and female attraction, that's how Krishna's designed it. He says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "What is more attractive than my Maya in the form of a woman or a man?" So the attractive is built in. There's a natural attraction there between male and female. And this is a basic principle of the universe that keeps the universe, material world, rolling. And this is called the the shackles, the chains, the invisible chains, that we're voluntarily chaining ourselves to the material world simply by that attraction for the opposite sex. It's a natural attraction. You can't deny that. There's one person, Prabhupada was given a darshan, and there was one of the engineers in Mayapur, and they used to go and take darshan of Prabhupada also. So, one devotee told Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, this Rishi Babu, his name was, he said he has no attraction for women." Prabhupada said, "There's some defect." We're created like that. There's a natural attraction there between male and female. It's kind of just like a magnet and a metal pin. Naturally attracts it. That's the law of nature. So that's why we have restrict the association for men and women. Because as soon as you get too close, nothing happens, right? But as soon as a pin gets suddenly in the magnetic field, irresistibly, it's there. As Srila Prabhupada said, man is good, woman is good, but the combination for spiritual life is not so good. So therefore the strictures are there, therefore the culture is there, that you can live together without becoming bewildered. So we see that in the in the material world we're so attracted to people and so much beauty there, but that attraction, it's actually the soul that is attractive. So then the soul is 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. So we find so much attraction to 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. So what to speak of Krishna? Huh? So he's more attractive than billions and billions of souls in his whole personality. So just imagine how attractive he is. So that is why he said for the conditioned soul, if you're the body, then the body is attractive. The sense gratification is very dear, very attractive. But if you understand you're the soul, once you've experienced the pleasure of the soul, then the soul becomes very dear. Because it's actually it's the source of the body and it's a much greater pleasure. When one becomes a devotee, then Krishna becomes the most dear. Because he's the soul of all souls. So there's more pleasure there. It's pleasure we're actually leaning for. Everyone's looking for pleasure because that is our natural constitution, ananda. A part of us we're made up of that ananda. So we can see how much we attract, what empires are fought and lost over that attraction between male and female. And we know in our own lives that attraction is irresistible. So just imagine how attractive Krishna is. This is 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. Is we're overwhelmed. But just imagine what Krishna's like. So if he reveals himself, if he shows himself fully, then irresistibly you'll be drawn towards him, helplessly. Senses will be so attractive, you'll be hopelessly drawn towards him. Generally he doesn't do that. Sometimes he does, but generally he doesn't. He doesn't do that. He's waiting for you. But that is there, all that attractive, that beauty is there in Krishna. He's the most beautiful person. Not only his physique, like he's showing, it's not only the physique here, a real, hot tomato, you say, in the material world. They're nothing. Just like when, who is it trying to test Narayana and Indra, trying to interfere with their meditation, he became a little nervous that they were coming. Of course, he didn't understand who they were, so he sent these gorgeous apsaras there. And they were dressed gorgeously, and they're very cultured people, and they knew how to dance perfectly and in the most seductive and attractive way. And then Narayana, they just from his body, he just produced these beautiful women that put these other apsaras to shame. There was, oh boy, they thought they were the most beautiful things in creation, but when they saw these ladies, they became completely ashamed. That was nothing. Right? That didn't interfere with him. So that's Krishna. He's all attractive. And also you see the pure devotees, they also become attractive, right? When we see the pure devotees, they become attractive. The pure devotee means the false ego is very less. It means, our process, Chaitodhapana, Marjanam, we're chanting Hare Krishna, performing these. This cleans the heart of what this is. The anatta nivritti, it means all these coverings that are gradually being removed. It means that the modes of passion, ignorance are disappearing. And then the actual soul, the personality, the real personality, so it becomes more present because there's less covering on it. So that's why the pure devotees are very attractive. It's the soul that is attractive, it's not the body. But of course, when they have that, then the body also becomes attractive. Also, when they're like the pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, but also displayed those very attractive qualities. And it's so absorbing. Like Srila Prabhupada, the way he did something, the way he picked up his glass and the way he drank, it was very regal, very royal, very sophisticated and very smooth. It was, it's a different world. And you just, you could just be entranced, just watching. It's so fascinating just to see them move and the way he talk, the way he hold his head, So this is the pure devotees. They also have that attractiveness because there's not hardly any covering. No, the false ego is disappeared practically. So they also become very attractive. So we do see, you know, both the examples, the material examples of a beautiful person and the spiritual examples of a beautiful spiritual person. And they're more attractive. It's a different kind of attraction. It's a different kind of pleasure. It's a different kind of feeling that you get from seeing a spiritual beauty than material beauty. Material beauty will get the adrenal going, become excited. It agitates the motor passion. And that's a nice experience, you know, the adrenaline is running through the body and it's a good experience. But the spiritual experience is different, of a different nature. It's more sattva, more pseudo-sattva actually. And there you feel a complete, you know, a complete satisfaction, a complete peace. Well, you kind of forget about yourself even. That is taken care of. And that's so satisfying, because that's actually a natural state of existence. This is what the soul should be experiencing. This is what they're doing in the spiritual world, to whatever degree we can experience here. Therefore the pure devotees become attractive. They're representing Krishna. So they're showing us also that this is a very tangible thing, because the rare devotees, pure devotees are quite rare. But whatever the association we can take, those advanced devotees, they become, they're just attractive. Somehow or other, they're just attractive. No matter what they look like, or what gender or what, you know, culture they have, they become attractive. And Krishna's all attractive. But you can't imagine here's a Supreme Personality of Godhead walking in front of people who think they're men, have that Ishvara Bhava, and you know he's really putting himself out to bewilder them in that way. So it's just perfect the way she's moving, just gliding through there, and the way she's moving her hips, and her breasts are moving, and the cloth is moving slightly there, and her eyes, and looking from side to side, slightly smiling at them, and they go, their hairs are standing on end practically, wow, and waiting for that chance, completely bewildered. We'll do whatever you want. We'll do whatever you want. The Prabhupada said, when the husband comes home from work, and the wife puts her arms around him, she says, darling, and puts his hand in his pocket and takes out his wallet, takes the money, and he says, oh, how sweet. He said, but when someone else does that in the street, picks his pocket, and he's furious, and he calls the police, but he says, when his wife does it, he's, oh, how nice, how charming. So that is what they're feeling. So it's kind of makes Krishna's, you know, he's putting his special yoga maya out to bewilder them, and he does it. That is why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever he does, whatever he wants to do, cannot be interfered with. The nice example of that Krishna, it says Krishna's will, Krishna's determination is actual fact. It's not like us. It's, you know, we're subject to time and space. Time and space is serving Krishna. So whatever he wants, he can do. He's not subject to this. Vaikuntha, there's no hindrance that he's in that atmosphere. But we see that a very nice example that everyone loves is when Krishna's walking into Mathura with his friends, and just like dramatic actors, and then, you know, the washerman comes with Kamsa's clothes. He's got the best clothes. The Kamsa's clothes. So we like to dress up nicely. So they just, wait a minute, what do you think you're doing? And then, you know, nonchalantly, Krishna just cuts off his head with his hand, chops off his head, and dresses in the gorgeous clothes, and they're walking up like dramatic actors, doing whatever they like, you know, having a good time, laughing and joking, completely carefree, you know. Then, you know, the devotees, as people that are innocent, they're so attracted to Krishna, and they come up. Kubja's there, she gives him the chandan, and the garnered ladies, they give him garlands, the garland makers, and so it's just like dramatic actors, and you know, living how they want, really opulently and lavishly, and the best of everything. Nothing's disturbed. The elephants come, that doesn't. There's no problem. You know, they just throw the elephant out of the way and walk in the arena with tusks over their shoulders and big burly wrestlers. No problem. They're finished. Then does his business with Kamsa, finished. Puts his father back on the throne. Say he protects his devotees. So whatever he wants to do cannot be hindered. So he's so attractive. So attractive. All attractive, that's Krishna. So these stories here, so we can get a little glimpse of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said we don't worship Krishna, God, as female. But some people do. In South India, there's one sect that do. They wear black. Well, they don't actually worship. They worship Mohini Murti, actually. And they say that Mohini Murti, when Lord Shiva chased after her, he said there was actual union, and the child came. That's, what is it, South India? Morgan? And they have this, it's a cult, it's nowhere in the scripture, but they have thousands of followers, thousands. They wear black. And they worship this, especially in the incarnation of Shiva and Mohini Murti, and the Ayappa. Ayappa. And that is still there. They're every year at a certain time they go to this hill, this mountain, and then if Ayappa is still there and is pleased, then there will be a light come from this mountain. So every year there is light, but they say someone probably, because no one's allowed to go up there, but someone there would throw a bunch of camphor on a candle or something like that. But there's no actual. There's no actual Vedic, Shastric reference to this. And Prabhupada says this is not proper to worship God as a female. So this is a very brief incarnation of the Lord for a specific purpose. So the Lord's so intelligent that whatever he wants to do, then he appears like that. And he has a good time doing it. He enjoys it. Whatever he does, he has a good time. Can you imagine? He's God. He's walking out, and all these powerful, these are the rulers of the universe, all lined up, and he's just walking past them, you know, knocking their socks off, as you say, or making their seekers curl. And he's having a good time, and he's devoting for his specific purpose. And when there's work to be done, then he just takes a perfect form. When the earth is in the mud, in the garba, or in the bottom of the ocean, what is the best means to get that out? The hog, right? The hogs, they go, you've seen them in Vrindavan, through the mud with their snout, and they can find things, they can smell tasty things in there. And they gobble it out. So he comes as a hog, he goes in that mud, and finds the earth. When there's a devastation of a palaya flood, then he comes as a fish, happy, swimming around. So yeah. Whatever he does, he enjoys doing. His enjoyment is impeded. So what? This is Krishna. This is God. Whatever he does is so fantastic. So this is just all these descriptions of the Lord is just to increase our appreciation of how wonderful Krishna is. Everything about him is so wonderful, so attractive, so absorbing. From his the reddish soles of his feet, which are completely absorbing the moonlight, the glow from his toenails, completely absorbing his yellow dhoti, which is swaying, and it seems like there's lightning moving around in his dhoti. So absorbing. You know, only one little thing is the way he's dressed, his different ornaments glint in. What to speak of his beautiful face? On one little thing, you become completely absorbed. You have to be qualified to be associated with Krishna. Otherwise you'll be left behind. You'll be, wow, look at the way Krishna smiled. Wow, look at the way Krishna moved his eyebrows. Wow, look at the sound of Krishna's ankle bells. So that will be, in the beginning, we'll be like that. But you'll be left behind with the in crowd, because they'll be going along assisting Krishna in his pastimes. There, you know, that's they're used to that thing. But for a newcomer like us, just one little nuance, one little thing of Krishna, the way he moved his finger. Here, some disciples say, the way Guru Maharaj looked at me. One word, one sentence Guru Maharaj said, I never forget that. It changed my life. And so just imagine how Krishna is. And the potency that he has, actually overwhelming. So therefore his Rasaraj, his reservoir of all rasas, the ocean of transcendental bliss. Jai Sri Kalajandi Ki Jai. Arunani Ki Jai. Sintai Gaur Ki Jai. Jagannath Balada Sri Varimani Ki Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Thay Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om. Hare Krishna. Any comments?
Krishna is wherever he wants to do is unimpeded. So is it the same way with his pure devotees? Like Srila Prabhupada came, is it similar like that? Because he's coming to fulfill the mission of the Lord, he's unimpeded and he was able to do so much. Is it similar like that?
Sometimes it goes like that. Sometimes he's unimpeded, but he says whatever. Srila Prabhupada said, whatever, he said, I don't know everything, whatever I need to know, Krishna will reveal. What is necessary for me to know, what is necessary for him to do, Krishna will give that ability. So I guess we can say that if Krishna wants it to, like he said, Lord Chaitanya could have made everyone Krishna conscious, but how was it his spiritual master? But he left it for me. Lord Chaitanya, the only priest in India, said he could have preached all over the world, but he left that for me. And also he said, I have a program how to take over the whole world in 18 days. He said, but you're not ready. So, and, you know, when he was in New York, we have so many temples, books, farms, hundreds of devotees. Not only time is separating us. He had that Trikala Gan, some of that. Whatever Krishna wanted, he said, he would know. But obviously it was Prabhupada's desire to make the whole world Krishna conscious and everyone become Krishna conscious, and it didn't happen. So that's, you know, we're instruments. Whatever the Lord desires, that much will happen. And as much as we actually surrender to the will of the Lord, then to that degree it will happen. It's more or less dependent on the living entities. The cause of the universe is us, you know, because we have material desires. So Krishna gives that facility. So if we also desire strong enough and endeavor strong enough in enough people, that will happen again. So Prabhupada said, even the yuga, it can even become like Dwapara Yuga again. If they have a good king and they engages everyone in proper duty, he said the whole place again will become like Dwapara Yuga. So, it's Krishna's desire. Prabhupada said we have a gorgeous plan for Mayapur to make this city there and build this gorgeous temple. He said, and when Lord Chaitanya's desire is there, then it will happen. So we only endeavor to, you know, fulfill, to give Krishna consciousness to others. We endeavor to the best of our ability, but ultimately it's the sanction of the Lord. So even the pure devotees, Krishna may be obliged to them in certain ways, but he has the overall program is there. He can do it, but you know, he's a person. He has his mind. He can change his mind also. That's why all contradictions are resolved if God is a person, because he has his mind. Something he can change his mind. He can say one thing and say it's not. generally doesn't, but he can do. He's a person. So we can't say that the, you know, whatever the pure devotee wants, the Lord will. In one sense you can, but in another sense you can't. On that kind of scale you're talking about. Because Prabhupada did want everyone to become, the whole world to become Krishna conscious. That was his desire. It didn't happen as yet. He left it for you. Hare Krishna. Gopāda ki jaya.